Hello. Welcome back to another episode of Classic Black Dude with your host Clark Jones, aka Pod Strickland. We are here in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, District of Champions, and I got my DJ Vlad, aka DJ the morning host voice right now. I'm a little hungover because I had two shows last night at the Big Hunt. I love DC audiences. It's been a great, good time. I got my family in here today, man. We got two worlds, my comedy world, and we got my HBCU world. And I'm just happy we got all these smart people and funny people. And it's about 40 degrees here in Washington, D.C. Those scooters hit different when it's 40 degrees. I was trying to take a scooter to the show, and it was like the wind was hitting my face a little too hard. I was like that Home Alone when they were on the little mechanism he made when he went from one house to the other house. It was very cold. I saw some people take an L. This dude had on glasses trying to go downhill on the line bike, and it was a tragedy. But I made it okay to my shows. Made it here this morning. We started a little bit late. Apologizing to my guests. And thanking them for their patience, man. There's so much Classic Black Dude news going on right now. And it's just so many things to talk about. Twitter been on fire the past week. And we got a bunch of things to talk about. So I had to ask the smartest, funniest people I know to come in and talk about it. Stephen A. Smith versus Black Twitter. Myles Garrett hitting the white boy in the head with his helmet. Some of these NCAA rules, which are changing. Baltimore. Which is not too far from D.C. They are teaching young black men yoga to help them with some of them issues that they're dealing with. Issa Rae just started a new network with and Tyler Perry Studios is popping off and blowing up. And, of course, as always, politics right now is heavy. The impending impeachment of maybe the president. May he get impeached? I know Benjamin Netanyahu just got indicted on charges, two of America's most wanted, Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. Who knows what's going to happen? That's why I had these guests come in so they could talk about it, give different perspectives. We talk about everything going on with black news. We got my man Jack Knight, writer for Big Head, Netflix, youngest nigga. Like, yo.
Big Head?
Yo, writer, what is it called?
Big Mouth, nigga.
Big Mouth. I got confused with what they used to call me as a kid. They used to call me Big Head. Big Mouth. I'm sorry.
Nah.
Representing Seattle, just like Sir Mix-a-Lot. Jack Knight is here. My man Kevin Iso representing the Nigerian faction. He got on his Detroit glasses. I know y'all gonna see this on the video, man. He is looking real Dej Loaf in this bitch. I love him. My man Scoop.
Yo, hey, talk about, bro.
Well, hold on, let me do my intros. Can I do all my intros before you interrupt me?
You gotta run that
me?
whole back.
Dej Loaf, a.k.a. Kevin Iso, creator of Flatbush Misdemeanors. I used to call it Flatbush Zombies one time by accident when I brought him on stage. But he's shining. He just got passed out to Comedy Cellar, so he got new clothes. My man Scoop is here. My Morehouse brother, member of Omega Psi Phi. They just celebrated 100 years of dancing an Atomic Dog. It's been 100 years since George Clinton put out Atomic Dog, and they've been there ever since.
Hey, right.
My good Spellman sister-ish Chelsea Rogers, Miss DC.
Hey, boo.
Attorney, and she went to Hustle. Howard U. Law. Still paying back them loans. Come on, Howard Law. Is it worth the price of admission? We don't know.
Tyrone was in Cuba on that money.
Listen, Howard, I don't know who's stealing, but like, chill on that. So I got my HBCU connects, comedy connects, so many things to talk about. I want to start with Jack. Jack, man, how do you become a writer in a writer's room?
Nah, bro.
You wrote for Grownish too.
Blackish. What
Black-ish.
The fuck,
bro? Yo, fire my assistant.
Bro.
My assistant is my memory, by the way. He's straight from Seattle, and he made it to a writer's room for ABC?
Bruh.
We
took a 45-minute lift, sat here for an hour to set this up,
yep,
for you to just shit all over me and this nigga Iso.
You got time?
That's so amazing. Okay.
Does it matter Big that head. All I heard Big was head. Black excellence?
Yeah,
like,
black excellence.
I hate, bro.
This part of this, they're not an official sponsor, but Jim Beam, honey.
Jim Beam is kicking in.
Jim Beam Honey and Adderall is an unofficial sponsor. I ain't gonna say who took it. I ain't gonna say who knocked it. But it's squad. Is this the most guests I've ever had on the show? Jack, how do you become a television writer for black people?
Black people, there's dudes like Kenny Smith and Courtney Lilly and who helped me out get the job.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they saw me open for Aziz. I said some crazy jokes. They're like, you want to come say crazy jokes for us? Then I did, and it was fun. It's a lot of money. That's nice.
Is that was that for Big Head, or was that for Blackish?
It was for Aziz.
I know, I'm talking about, like, what was the plug? Which show did they plug you into?
Blackish.
They plugged you into. How'd you get Big Head?
Older Grownish.
That's Nick Kroll money. Big Mouth.
He wants you to call it Big Head.
Yo, you gonna start calling it Big Head before the end of this podcast. Bruh. Toast to Big Head, y'all.
Working for Big Head has been one of the greatest opportunities of my life.
They gonna cancel me.
I was about to say, man, the kids don't play about that Big Head, bro. They gonna come for your fucking.
Are they like XXX fans? Like, how crazy are they?
They take that shit serious.
That's like their show.
It's identity show, bro. You can't be out here getting that shit wrong.
Damn.
You misgendering the show.
It's not Big Mouth was something else, wasn't it? No, wasn't something called Big Mouth?
No, his show.
Am I making something up?
You are calling the show Big Head. Okay, it's called Big Mouth.
I'm sorry. Was Big Head something else?
Big Head is a text you sent to a girl before you started this podcast.
Hey, Big Head, yes.
Where were you last night?
Kevin Iso, Nigerian by birth. Were you born there? What does ISO really stand for? What is your full last name? ISO. What is the full? Don't do that.
It's ISO.
What is the full name? Is ISO.
But I was born in Houston, Texas.
Born in Houston, Texas. Yeah. Your family was born.
Yeah, in Nigeria.
In Nigeria. Do you get back?
First generation. I'm going back in December.
But you get back often, right?
I try to go every 2 years.
How's the Nigeria? How's Lagos right now?
It's hot.
Shut up. Comedians hate to expand, but they know I'm trying to lead them to a longer response. It's hot.
I don't know, man. It's just different. You know, it's a lot of traffic and shit, but it's cool. They got a Pizza Hut out there, which is weird to see.
Do you buy into the connection that, like, because I was taught as African American, somebody born in the States, that Africans don't like you. Right? Did they teach Africans in Nigeria that black people in America, they don't like you? Did they cause a rift? Was that rift planted in you?
No, it's more so that, like, if you African, you just see American people as different type of black because you don't see the struggle that they, it's not the same. Like, when I was out there, they tried to rob me.
And in Nigeria?
Yeah, and I didn't know. I was like, how the fuck do they know that I'm not? One of them.
They know that.
What'd you have on?
Oh, wow. He had on that polo.
I had on a t-shirt and some shorts.
No new Jordans, right?
It's just the way that you walk. They can tell.
No, it's just my cousin told me. She was like, I see it in your face. They just see that you don't have no suffering in your face.
Warby Parker glasses.
I didn't have these glasses at the time. It was just like your skin is clear.
It's just
different. They can just see it. Yeah. So.
Damn.
Next time you go back,
I thought you were going to come in and say something positive about Nigeria, but you mentioned that you got robbed. So that was different.
Was it a successful robbery?
I didn't get robbed.
I was like, Iso will come in. He going to say.
I didn't get robbed. They just surrounded me, and they was trying to, like, because I had my money in my socks, but I had my hands in my pocket. So they was trying to, like, get my hands out of my pocket to. So the money will fly out. Like, niggas just grab it. You know how, like...
Like a cartoon? You know, just cool.
You know how, like, when a girl leave a club at 4 a.m. and niggas trying to grab her and be like, yo, ma, like, that type of shit. Yeah.
Yo, ma.
Yeah.
How'd you make it out of that situation?
Nigga, I ran.
You ran?
Yeah.
Damn. That was in Lagos?
No, that was on the mainland, Yaba Market. That's where... I was, like, really out there.
Shit.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for that perspective. Scoop Yeldell. Kyle Scoop.
Nigga didn't mention Flatbush at all.
Yeah, I did. No. I accidentally called it Flatbush Zombies by accident, but it's Flatbush.
We didn't even hear about the seller.
Kev, right? Kev is passed at the world famous comedy seller. Good. You passed, right?
Yeah,
that's cool. Like a big deal for a comedian, especially for a black comedian to get past one of the most world renowned. Y'all know it from Louie. Louis is wearing. You have a white audience? Yeah. How long you been there?
Since September, I think.
Shit. All right, yeah. We'll get into that. My man Scoop Yodel is here, DC native, my Morehouse brother, member of Omega Sci-Fi, right?
Yep, that's all facts.
Like Langston Hughes.
Yep.
Jesse Jackson. Yep. Michael Jordan.
Yep.
I'm trying to name as positive as I can get. Who's Stephen A. Smith? Who we gonna talk about?
Nah. Okay. That's fine.
Do you have an issue with Stephen A. Smith? They're trying to take his black card.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't list him on the list of prominent Omegas right now.
Really?
Timeliness. Wow.
You don't take his side in the thing?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
Before, we're going to come back to that. Chelsea Rogers.
Hola.
Ms. DC, Spelmanite, my classmate.
Hey, boo.
How has being Ms. DC changed your life?
Oh, goodness. Well, it helped to take down some of those law school loans I have.
Oh, you get paid for that?
Yeah, you get scholarship money and you
get
cash.
Does Trump run that?
Not anymore.
He was a part of that.
Yeah, so when I competed, I was Miss DC USA 2008. So when I competed, Trump still owned it. And it was interesting. They would line us up, send us through hair and makeup, put us in like cocktail dresses and like just line us up in alphabetical order for him to like pass by. It was.
You had to be judged by Trump.
He was drunk as shit. He comes in and he goes, I don't know what they told you while you've been here, but you know, I make the final decision. And then he walks down like through each state and like talks and shakes hands and stuff like that.
Did he touch y'all?
He shook our hands and he hugged a couple girls, but he is.
Were they white or black?
Both.
So he's diverse in his harassment.
I think so. I think he is an equal opportunity peer.
Ugh.
He didn't grab
equal
any of y'all's
perv.
Yeah. No, he did not on stage. Mm. And then we went back to change and then I dipped.
The biggest news of this week, Colin Kaepernick. This is powder. I thought this was something else on the table.
I was like,
it's like the little
booger sugar.
Talcum powder, whatever. Biggest news this week, Colin Kaepernick. I feel like the biggest issue this week with this whole thing, Colin Kaepernick versus the NFL, is people don't have enough news about what, and we don't hesitate to share our opinions before reading every fucking thing. And it's been, I had to step back. I stopped. I muted NFL, Kaepernick, Sambo, Coon, Bootlicker all off my Twitter because it was just driving me nuts that people had the audacity to say that Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith's co-host, is blacker than he is. And Max Kellerman been getting all the invites to the cookout, the fictional cookout. Because he kind of took Kaepernick's side in the whole thing. And I just think the lowest thing a black person could say to another black person is that they're not black enough. Or that I'm from the street, so I'm blacker than you. And Scoop, I know you're a big sports fan. Tell me your perspective on this whole thing with Cap.
I think NFL tried to get Kaepernick to sign away way more than he should have. I think the NFL knew that this would draw, they were trying to eliminate future attention drawn to this. So they tried to include some language in his waiver that's not normal. And Cap was like, nah, I'm not dealing with this. And he also knew that the video of his workout could be manipulated if nobody else had a camera. So he wanted to add that to it.
So you stand with Cap?
Oh, for sure.
Let me ask you this. If you, say you work at a company, mm-hmm. white company, mm-hmm. what's the whitest company I can think of? Say you worked at Google, mm-hmm. which is hard to work at. Say you worked at Big Mouth, and your boy, and this is just follow me
you
with this write. Analogy. You work at Big Mouth, mm-hmm. your boy's trying to get a writing job, they have their hesitations. You set your boy up with an interview. 45 minutes before the interview, he said he can't make it, but he can make it 60 miles away. He don't even show up. And at the end of the interview, he tells Big Mouth, stop running. I've been ready my whole life for this opportunity. Stop running from me. Do you feel a certain way about that guy?
That's not even a close comparison.
How not?
So first and foremost, how many people are going to go back to the company that they filed a lawsuit against?
That's what I'm saying.
No, what I'm saying is that the NFL is the only way to play professional football in this country on that level, right? But you can get another job at Uber, you can get another job at Facebook, you can get another job at Microsoft. You can't get another professional football job. So you have to go through the NFL. That's one. Two, I would say is that this is a high profile situation. I mean, NFL branding wise, all that is way bigger than, you know, just a random person, you know, taking a job, an interview somewhere else. It's a big deal, and people have been waiting for this situation to happen for a while. So they had to protect them. Both people had to protect themselves. And if you're thinking about this as a regular employee, then, like, this whole situation isn't accurate, because nobody's watching somebody interview. It's not – if you want to go in and say, oh, I want a job at Macy's, you know, nobody's watching your Macy's interview. Like, this okay. is professional sports. Like, it's way different. I just think that the NFL knew what they were doing, and they thought they can get away with it. And they had days before to get this squared away, and they waited to the last minute to give the final answer. And so that's when it became.
From my understanding, Cap knew about this interview Tuesday, Wednesday. 45 minutes before, he changes it.
It wasn't 25? He changed. No. The NFL finally said, he said, okay, can you do this? And when the NFL finally told him at 2:30 that day that they would not abide by those two aspects of the
contract. He could sue them again.
No, not sue them again, but it's an injury waiver. If you work out with anybody, you just sign you can't sue if you get injured during this. But it didn't say that you can't sue for something other than that. They added all types of different language that had nothing to do with just a physical workout.
Do you think he really wants to play in the NFL? Do y'all think he really wants to play?
I think he does. I just don't think that he feels like he will get a fair shot. So
it's more lucrative for him to be a martyr than for him to be an NFL player.
That's not true at all.
I don't think so.
I disagree.
That's not true at all.
If he goes out there and he plays the average game, all this attention goes away. I also have a problem with anybody, famous or non-famous, saying, I don't vote because I can't tell the difference between the candidates.
That's a different argument.
That's what makes me not stand with Cap. Does voting matter?
I don't know why he wants to play in the NFL. It's like, dog, you already did the thing, and you known for the thing. It'd be like if Rosa Parks was like,
we're gonna become comptroller of the
Greyhound of or some shit. I'd be like, what the fuck?
I wouldn't say that much. He's really talented. I don't think he feels like it's fair that he's been put out of his field of expertise.
But when you make that stance, you make that sacrifice. Because when Muhammad Ali took that stance,
he came back the box. He was out, though, for how long?
He got arrested. Lots of other people who have been his at the top of their game. On the and chest. Like,
he came back the box.
I'm fairly forced out of the field to come
I'm
back.
Sure if you asked Ali and it was like, yo, you're never box again. At that time, he probably thought he was never going to box again.
He made – right. But Kaepernick, if they told him you'll never play in the NFL again, he probably would take it on the chin and keep it moving. But he has the opportunity just like Ali did.
With that same interview analogy, if your boy showed up to the Google interview in a Kunta Kinte shirt, would you be like –
I'm going to put it this way. If there was a high-priced big executive at Google that felt that he was being racially discriminated upon, and it became national news that he got fired for something to do with racial discrimination, and he sued, made money, and then he decided to come back. I would expect that dude to wear a Kunta Kinte shirt with the search bar under it.
You know what
to his interview.
What kills me about any situation like this, and we went to. People don't understand about Morehouse as a black school is that it's not a bunch of poor dudes who decided to go to college. I didn't know about money, and like I didn't know vacation as a verb until I went to school in the AUC. Like I'm talking about money, like big head money. You know what I'm saying? Like it now was a different. It was so like with that, what you had was a lot of black dudes and black women at Spelman who went above the call to let it be known that they are black, right? Colin Kaepernick was adopted by two white parents in Wisconsin, right? There's something about people who want to exert, like, yo, I'm a black person. They sometimes, or they try to say, like, they go beyond the pale to say that I am black. And I understand what kills me is that when people are surprised at how to move amongst rich white people. Like everybody who's reading the story is like, oh, I can't believe they doing that. You tell rich white NFL owners, stop running. And they supposed to just get you a job still? They should. You should be able to say what you want to, but people, I don't know, maybe it's my age bracket. I don't understand. What you think, Jack?
I think it's just not I don't think it's a character that they it's not a fun athlete character. Like Dennis Rodman is a fun athlete. Like I think that all the NBA, NFL, NHL, they'll deal with any character. You can beat the shit out your wife. But that's it's just not too. As fun of a character. It's just like blackity black black man. It's just not a thing that you can really put on a T-shirt like that. Like
that's until you real. Do it though.
But like it's, I don't think that they can do it. Like unless you know, old boy Mason, whatever. He's like a full Tommy Lauren Fox News dude. That brings absolutely. That sells tickets.
Yeah,
the opposite way around does not. You know what I mean?
If Miles Garrett get a longer,
I just think Colin Kaepernick should beat the shit out of his girl so he can get his job back.
If Miles Garrett get a longer, that's where we're going to take a break. If Miles Garrett get a longer suspension than Ray Rice, then something's fucking foul, man. We'll be right back on Classic Black Dude with Jack, Kevin, Scoop, and Chelsea. We'll be right back. All right, we right back at it at Classic Black Dude, man. My feeling is there's nothing lower legally that you can call another black person lower than Uncle Tom or a coon. Ashy is rough, but that's like jokes. You get jokes off too. Like you can fix Ashy.
Ashy is also factual sometimes.
But once you're labeled as a sellout, it's really hard to come back from that. And this will really kill me. Stephen A. had Terrell Owens on his show to talk about it, and Terrell Owens decided to call Max Kellerman, his Jewish co-host, blacker than Stephen A. Smith. Because of the stances that they
that's
took.
That's what niggas was saying.
Niggas was saying.
Niggas was saying that T.O. was just the nigga that said it.
The key word TV. Is niggas was saying it.
Sorry, black people were
black,
saying that.
Black, I don't
black
agree,
people
man.
Were definitely saying that. I agree with, well, I wouldn't say the terminology of saying that he's blacker than him, but that stance, like, man, respectability politics is huge. You know, black people oftentimes are expected to kowtow to situations. You should know better. You shouldn't act that way. You know, you're making us look bad in the streets type situation.
Does Max understood. Does it change the fact that Terrell Owens asked Stephen A. to come on the show?
Wait, you mean Stephen A. asked Terrell Owens?
No, Terrell Owens asked Stephen A. to come on the show.
What show is it?
I thought it was on the first take. On ESPN. First take.
Yeah. How did Terrell ask Stephen?
They're friends. He texts them.
He texts but to me, that's more respectful. If somebody going to say, I'm going to come say this to your face, yeah. Just be outside
but
talking all the
time. And also, Stephen A. knew he was going to say that. I don't know why he didn't think that. A dude like Terrell Owens wouldn't come up there and be salacious.
Well, Terrell Owens is ignorant.
I heard that Stephen A. was a network exec that wanted to make Harriet Tubman white.
In a setup. Shut up.
Julia Roberts.
For those that did not know, somewhere, I don't know who junk email popped up or who reminder popped up, but a white executive asked or suggested that Julia Roberts of Bridges of Madison County? Is that what? No, that was Clint
she's
Eastwood.
Like runaway bride.
Runaway.
And
that's what they called it. That's what they said. She couldn't play Harriet Tubman, so they gave her runaway bride.
Pretty
so instead
woman.
Instead of runaway slave, they gave her runaway bride. Yeah. They suggested that she should be the.
How'd that even leak?
That's what I want to know.
Where'd that come from?
Well, they're saying because Harriet just came out, that's what made it. But they won't reveal
the guy that's behind
it. Or girl. It leaked because marijuana is legal in Cali.
More likely
somebody signed up.
That's only a white woman.
Likely
in the 90s.
That sounds like a white woman.
Executive producer.
I talked to executive producer. Them bitches be saying wild shit.
What's the wildest shit you done heard?
Like,
don't name no
names. I won't name any names. But I remember I was in like a meeting for one of the main network people. And they're just like, yeah, you know, you should do like one of those things where you dye your hair and then like you like, you know, you could be like sassy black because like sassy black's
not
in
sassy.
Right now.
Oh.
And I was like, but I'm not a sassy gay dude. Like, no, but like you just got to go with the black
sassy.
Flow.
Did they respond to that like I see often where it's just like, oh, and then they classify you. See, if I feel like, Jack, you get away with a lot of shit, man.
We'll
and I say that as a friend of yours, like. I feel like, and I appreciate it because I love to see it where you can just be like, no, I'm not doing that shit, or you say some of the wildest shit and you still get work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nice to my friends.
Yeah.
I think that's all it is. Like, it's just, if you try to be nice to everybody, then you're going to be spread too thin and then niggas ain't going to fuck with you. But if you're just fucking with people you fuck with and they go always hold you down, then you're always going to be good. It's like this weird popularity contest thing that people keep trying to play over and over again. That's going to get washed. It's like if you keep your circle tight, you can have a career and you don't have to bother nobody.
Where do you get that from?
My mom.
Kawhi.
Your mom touched it. Kawhi. I tried to dunk on him. I tried to jump high and then I dunked on him and
yeah,
jumped
it's
high.
Like, I don't know. It's just like this whole industry feels like a whole bunch of people who just weren't cool in high school and they trying to make up. And like when you were, it's like now I know how to move already. So it's like.
I have a thought. Yeah, that sounds like CBC weekend to me in D.C.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said that sounds like CBC weekend to me in D.C.
Congressional Black Caucus?
Yeah.
That's just me. Yeah.
So you kind of go against the grain too. Like you'll say, but they be trying to fuck with you though, man. I've seen it. Me and ISO started in New York around the same time.
What do they be doing to ISO? Leave them alone.
No, I fight for ISO. I fight for him. I fought for him. I hosted a show and it was a woman who booked it and she didn't like that ISO made fun of.
You know what though? Let me just explain something on that.
Talk about it.
Because that's how we came up doing comedy though.
What'd you say?
You know how if you were like doing a, if a show was going bad and everybody was bombing, and this shit used to happen to me a lot in Houston, the nigga that would come up after everybody would be like, yo, these motherfuckers suck.
Yeah.
The audience would like be like, yeah,
thank you for saying what we thinking.
Yeah. And so that's how it was just like, I never took it personal because that's when I started. It was just always like that. And so I got to New York and I was like, oh, okay, this show been ass. I'm like, all right, let me go ahead, say what everybody
thinking.
And she
did not like that.
They ain't like it at all. They was like.
So she asked me to ban you for like 6 months. I'm like, bitch, you are not Paul Tagliabue. Like, why? What are you talking about? I went along with it because I was trying to, because it's politics.
But it's that weird, like that white culture that takes words more than action seriously. Like, I don't think Stephen A is a coon. I think Jason Whitlock's a coon.
Jason Whitlock is a bad person.
He deserves nothing on this earth.
Okay.
But Stephen A. Smith seems like a college contrarian to me. Like, he feels like one of those dudes like, the world's not going to end. There's no such thing. Like, just to jab at the other way to get the conversation. He's like, he's working on his argument chops, but he just decided to work on his argument chops with civil rights.
Yeah. I don't think people fail to realize is that all this is, there's a writer's meeting before the show where they decide what side they're going to take.
Here's the thing. The difference is that Stephen A. Smith's comments were made on his own personal Instagram story at first, and I think that's all him. That's why it's all him. Like, that's his viewpoint. And I think there's a lot of black people that think, like I said, we are expected to be punished more than anybody else. Like, we punish ourselves more than anybody else. That's why we get whooped more than, you know what I'm saying? Like, you deserve to be.
The oppressed mimic the actions of their oppressor.
But I mean, we try to correct ourselves harsher. We are harsher to ourselves than what we expect, how we should be punished for stuff when we do something wrong. Oh, you knew that they weren't going to give you that job if you didn't do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, man, please, like, this is how he should feel. If you take out the context of, like, what you expect a black person to act like and just say, if you take a harmed person and in this situation it was just a white man feeling this way about a white establishment, you wouldn't be like, well, you know, he would have got punished harsher, or he would have got, you know, he wouldn't have felt that way. We just think that black people should know better because we know what our history is, and so we should walk a fine line.
$8 million helped.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
What's $8 million?
Okay. He just got that big contract for $8 million.
That's where I feel like he really came from, put on that double layer tap shoe, boy.
You gotta go ahead and get that.
It's like if you defend white folks and you broke, you're a coon, but if you defend white folks, you got $8 million, you're a sellout.
I don't even think he's defending white people. He is just an archetype of, I'm going to overly punish a black person
for a basic
offense. Yeah, like that's just like, hey man, you know, like we talk about it with in education with school suspensions. You know, well you know you can't do that. You can't. You know, you need to be expelled or you need to be on a 2-week suspension while somebody else of another race gets a 1-day or just time out in the corner. We always expect to be punished harsher because we know what the how we're supposed to act in this situation. I don't even think of him as a coon or a sellout. I just think it's respectability politics. Now, Jason Whitlock is a horrible individual.
It reminds me of that old In Living Color sketch.
Jason Whitlock said that.
What did he say?
He said he doesn't want to try the Popeye sandwich because it looks gross. It's like, man, how you cooning sandwiches?
Yeah.
Like, you could just hate niggas regularly. Yeah. Why are you making white niggas sandwiches?
He
seen
gross?
Don Lemon back but, out of the coon spot, and he was like, I got to fill this.
It's an open.
It's an open.
I saw him get chewed out by Vivian Stringer after that comment about Don Imus back in the day.
Oh,
but Don Imus called it Rutgers.
That's a whole lot of that.
What Jason Whitlock say?
He stood with Don Imus. He said, they look like nappy-headed hoes, and they call him that. The right, like, you know, freedom of speech. And then he had to come to Morehouse when we introduced our sports journalism program on a panel with C. Vivian Stringer.
He brought his black ass to black school?
Yeah.
That was
it was Jim Brown, Alonzo Mourning, Eton Thomas, Vivian Stringer, Jason
Whitlock. I feel like
Alonzo
Mourning would have swung him.
Jim Brown.
Vivian Stringer chewed him out. It was all over sports, and it was like top 10 played. It wasn't even athletics. Shoot him out.
I got to see that.
Jason Whitlock is horrible person.
How did he take it?
Chelsea. I mean, he was like, you know, I
don't think that's
you know,
fair to me.
He looked like,
I think it's a good perspective to have on all the things that we're talking about. And here's another thing about LeBron. Like
Cleveland,
like, dude,
Cleveland Brown.
So
he sound like Cleveland.
Front porch picking any.
Bro, he's like Ron Taylor. I mean, Ron Funch is tethered.
Oh,
Ron Funch.
That's the clip that's going to go on the Instagram.
No.
Chelsea. You got the double thing because you got woman and the black thing, and you are in the legal world, and you have to move upon. Like, which one do you feel like is the hardest struggle?
Man.
Or is it equal?
You know,
do you even care?
I care. I don't want to care, but I do care. I'm of the older generation that stuck right between like our parents and our grandparents who created the don't embarrass me in public people.
Right.
And then like right before this new like wild millennial generation that like doesn't care. Mm. So for me, and I've been back and forth like in the corporate world and this kind of experience where there aren't many of us. Mm. So if you're going to be the representative, you have to be the best version of all of your people that you can be. And it's frustrating. I see both sides. Like, I love to just, like, stroll up somewhere with my hair and my natural curl and
right.
white blonde or a streak of purple today. But I also grew up in the, hey, if you have tattoos, all of your tattoos should be covered. If you're going on a job interview for somewhere corporate, they shouldn't judge you by your hair or your looks, but you don't know if they will, so pull it back in a bun just in case. And it's weird. It's a hard transition from your grandma's still staring you down like, wait a minute, you've been out in the streets like this versus like this new generation like that's screaming, accept me how I look because that has nothing to do with my qualifications.
Now, that's a big conversation right now. We're talking about being black enough. Twitter was on fire with is Lizzo an artist for black women or is she for white women?
I'll answer for that.
Can you answer for this black woman? I'll say this.
Lizzo hates annoying because we yell at Meghan Trainor, we yell at all these white women for taking our black music. Then we finally have a black woman doing the black music that we wanted them to do, and we're like, shut up,
fat playing man. Her violin.
He's like, bro, this is what we told white women to stop. We got the black face to do the black thing we don't care about.
Yeah.
Why are we mad at her?
Is that fair, Chelsea?
So,
are you a Lizzo fan?
I like Lizzo.
But
I also like Megan Trainor.
Yeah,
but I also
and you like Meg the Stallion.
Oh, of course I like Meg the Stallion.
Oof.
You know,
bad.
Back in the days in college, we had the Meganese, but you know we lost them to Uncle Luke Scard and Pop Lock and Drop.
If Nori
it,
didn't
so.
Use it, I would give a round of applause for Meg. Oh. Tina Snow.
I wanted to stomp my chest in.
She's single now. She's
yeah,
single again.
She
you
is.
Not?
She
but
was
she
just
is.
In D.C. on yeah. Thursday. She might still be here.
Nah, bruh, I'm Dude. Good, but like I'm not.
You got big head money.
that'll
get you in the door.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Scoop, you fucking with Meg?
Megan Thee Stallion is dope. I like
her
yeah,
or
she,
Lizzo, which one would you pay
what?
Take your girl?
I don't know.
You on a date, you going to take a Lizzo, you by yourself.
Depends
on
the woman
see.
I'm taking out.
Scoop is taking her to see Megan Thee Stallion. And he's going to stand in the back.
I like Lizzo. I'm going to
stand. I'm going to get that good twerk look like the thing that stands outside the car dealerships.
The flail body.
Air thing?
Yes. The little flail body?
Yeah, that's Megan Thee Stallion is, I mean, I made a playlist for Homecoming, and I didn't realize how much Megan Thee Stallion was on it. I mean, she's everywhere. And, I mean, she speaks to unapologetic. Like, she raps like a dude would rap.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. I mean, she's saying the same stuff we say.
But not only that, Megan for us is like the first, well, not the first, Trina. But one of the first. The Stallion.
Yeah.
Megan, here's the difference between the Megan Thee Stallions and the Kims. Mm. The Kims ran drugs for like her niggas in the past, right?
Yeah.
And that was her like claim to fame. I'm a down ass chick.
Used to work,
you know,
at
I
a great
do all
town,
this shit
Greyhound.
And I, you know, put my pussy on your face. That's Kim. Megan's like, ooh, I do all that on the weekends, but I'm also in college getting this
Monday
degree.
Monday through Friday, yeah.
So Sweetie shout out to all first. The girls that's like,
so
hey.
Think so?
Sweetie had that brand first.
Like, I'm out here trying to do Sheen stuff
thick,
right.
Though.
Like, I always say, I hear all these songs for the strippers. Where are the songs for the girls that just got loans and we trying to play, you know, pay them off with a regular job
you
and
to
not strip too?
Them, was some strippers really going to bio on Monday or was they like stripping but they still was officially... You know some strippers at Spelman.
You know that I spent
talk about it
a quality amount of time encouraging my sisters to be creative in whatever their path was as strokers or amateur night.
Yes,
when
strokers,
you learn that
oh
some
God,
of your friends
strokers.
Are extremely talented in the most appeasing and shocking ways, it really is.
Was there some Spelman chicks at strokers
some,
working?
Yeah, yeah. But let me tell you, like. I also, again, I think it just, it's the evolution of our generations because like now that's not as frowned upon as it was. Like when I was in school, my mom was like, you bet not let me catch your ass in nobody's music video.
Yeah.
And I remember like Mystical was filming in Atlanta for his.
This was after Shake Your Ass.
Yeah.
This was like something else.
Just the one that has like the New Orleans like funeral parade scene.
Bouncing Back.
He's filming for Bouncing Back in Atlanta. And my mom was like, I wish you would. Like,
we had BET Uncut too. So it was like
we did.
The opportunities was open.
I got a
but
lot
But it
of
was
friends
like,
that
you
so
frowned
you date
on
black
it.
Women?
You couldn't be versatile.
I just want to ask him before I get his opinion. I just want to, because you're a New York black comedian and that's the home of like interracial dating. Do you date black women?
By the way, you. Side note, well, he came up to my girlfriend who was a light skinned woman.
No,
and then he goes like, "That's crazy that you and Jack are in an interracial relationship."
No,
and then she goes, "I'm a black woman."
No, I was speaking about interracial, and she internalized
oh,
it.
You?
Yes,
oh, no.
Messy.
She internalized it like I was talking because yeah, I know
big
Jack.
Head white girlfriend.
I knew Jack before the relationship. First of all, I always do on the show. I talk about how I meet my guests for the first time. And the first I first got to know Jack, I had heard of him through comedy, but there was a girl who was I was kind of checking for her, but she was really into Jack. So I got moved to the friend label, which is fine. And it was like they had a thing and it didn't work out or whatever. So the first time I really like talked to him, I'm from a generation where and from a city where niggas like really be saving and getting into things. So when I met him, I didn't know what it was going to be. But it was cool.
Yeah.
He was just like, and that just let that really set a tone. I'm like, oh, I fuck with Jack.
What you mean by saving?
Yeah, I saved?
No. I'm saying I come from a place where that happens a lot. And there's a lot of confrontations over women because, you know what
that.
I mean? And I didn't get that vibe at all. Yes. But I was ready for it because I'm from Chicago. And that happens a lot.
Yeah.
So that was the first time that we came across. I meant to, you didn't answer the question about your dating preferences.
I date Bangladeshi women.
Get the fuck out of here. I ain't never saying no comments on your photos from
emphasis
no Bangladeshi.
On the bang.
I feel like I'm 1/8 Dominican and 1/16 Cherokee.
No,
and
I definitely hate people that put, not even people, women that put their ethnicity in
their
Instagram bio. Look, man. It just
what
says,
you date? What you
I
fuck
date
with?
Black women.
DC got some Ethiopian chicks.
They black.
Knock you fucking.
Right.
That's
black.
African.
Habisha. They're black. Black is black.
Black is black.
Black is black. What I'm saying is that women that's like, they're at Big
black
Booty
is black.
Judy.
Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah.
do you identify
at Big Booty Judy, and the first thing shows up Irish, Dominican, and black. Exotic. It's like, yo, what
but
the
question is, are you going to DM Big Booty Judy anyway?
Nah.
I'm trying to get it, Lizzo.
Nah.
Lizzo, man, Lizzo. Oof.
Yeah. I'm trying to get it. What's up?
I love her. I love all black.
It depends
women,
what part, what life, like what part of the life you're in. Like if you're in the place where you got to talk to Big Booty Judy's, you're in the place to talk to Big Booty Judy's.
What that's you, what. I, that's
when
that
you're in
was,
the place to talk to attorneys. You're in the place.
What
to
did
talk
you say
to
last night on the street?
What
Jack quote?
Which one?
That when we was walking back to the improv.
I truly don't remember.
It's not the you don't ever get the hoes that you want. You get the hoes that you need.
Yes.
That's a good ass point.
Deep.
Yeah.
And with that, we're taking a quick break here on Classic Black Dude. Kevin Iso, Jack Knight, Kyle Scoop, Yeldale, Chelsea Rogers. We kind of talk about everything. This is flowing, man. We got one more segment. We'll be right back. Thank you so much for listening, subscribing, commenting, sharing. Host Clark Jones, a.k.a. Posh Strickland. We'll be right back.
Hey, Rebecca.
I ain't gonna say no last names.
I've definitely put bitches in scripts.
Right. All right, we back here on Classic Black Dude with the family. It's a whole squad thing. We covered a lot. We talking about Stephen A. being black. We talking about Lizzo versus, you know, not being black. We talked about a bunch of things. We just covering some perspectives. We got a whole bunch of different points of view in a room, and I'm so thankful that everybody can make it out today. Like I said, it's been a lot of things going on. We didn't even cover like music, one of my favorite things. It's the anniversary of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. It's been
wonderful.
What, 10
album.
Years? Is it 10 years?
No, it's been nine. Be 11.
Nine years.
2009, 2019.
2010. Mm-hmm. 2010.
Okay.
It came out 2010.
So this was the 9-year anniversary.
Can I tell a dope story about this?
Of course you can.
So my mom's from Queens, from East Elmhurst, New York.
Word.
Right by LaGuardia Airport. So it was Thanksgiving. I bought the CD and I'm driving by from Queens Plaza, the Best Buy, and I'm listening to Power, the No One Man.
Yeah. That remix is crazy.
Right. So I'm pulling down the street and realize I'm listening to this as I'm pulling past the house that Malcolm X was bombed in. Like his house that got bombed in the movie. Because my mother lives 3 blocks from that house on 97th Street. And I was like, yo, like this, that phrase is from this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm passing his house as I'm making a right to get to my grandma's house. Mm. And I was like, this is a sign this album is about to be dope. I've only got a track 3 at this point.
When I heard Chris Rock on the joint,
yo,
I was
that's
like,
crazy.
The Chris Rock sketch was like, that just brought everything together. I was him from Chicago, so yay, at that time, was that dude, and it was just like, I was just so excited that he had came back from the Taylor Swift shit. And I'm just like,
it was a beautiful story. Because
I thought that was it.
It was a beautiful story of redemption. But it's like, it showed his resilience, and I think that comeback ruined Kanye.
How? Because he felt invincible.
Because he felt like he can come back from anything. It's like, no, Nick, you came back from just that.
But how could you not think
yeah,
that?
Yeah, like his head is, I don't know. It's
what was y'all's go-to track on the My Beautiful?
Lost in the World.
So appalled.
Lost in the World.
Devil in a Blue Dress.
Devil in a Blue Dress. Rick Ross.
New Dress. Is
it Devil in a New Dress?
New Dress.
Devil in a New Dress.
New Dress.
So appalled to me.
I thought you were doing a joke. I thought you just fact checked. She's silly.
He just fact checked.
I love Devil in a New Dress, but So Appalled, I mean.
Oh, So Appalled.
Man, that's some of the best lyrics, like Sigh.
Spalled and Bald.
Can we talk about how Nikki's stole Monster though?
Nikki had the best. Nikki had the best verse on the album.
She
that
took
was
over.
Her
that was her song.
That was
like
Nikki.
Oh, bro, you almost broke my heart.
No, she took over. That was her.
Right.
And look, I told somebody this.
And
I had
that was
an argument.
Like her coming out.
That was the best verse on the album.
Yes. We were speaking. Nah.
No.
Yes.
No.
No. That Persia verse is crazy. That Persia verse is. We get it. She's a woman.
I keep the city's best ever since she was the brightest. If you had it to it, don't affect me the slightest.
That Rick Ross verse is. That nigga Rick Ross dropped a verse so cold, he dropped his own video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how cold that verse. He said, no, nigga, I'm going to drop my own video for the song.
Yeah. He had two verses on the album. I think him and Nikki show up twice on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Hey, I say this, though.
Because he was on.
She's in the intro, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's on the Can We Get Much Higher?
Yeah.
I think it's his magnum opus. It's by far to me his best album.
It's his best album.
But it's one of, it's like. I mean, one song that I think is like the epitome of that album is, man, what's the one with all of the lights?
It'll,
all of the lights.
Man, it took him like 4 years to make that
man,
song.
Man, but
so
I'm
crazy.
Just saying, like
Elton John.
What was that?
Drake.
Oh, Good Morning.
Alicia Keys. Oh, Rihanna.
Cuddy. Rihanna.
Cuddy.
Graduation.
Oh, the girl from the from she's the singer for, you know, at London Bridge.
Oh, Fergie.
Fergie.
Fergie's on there.
Oh,
Fergie.
Yeah.
Adele was
on there. No, I think Estelle was on. Like,
Estelle was on there, too?
Bro, he had like, every like, single singer.
Like 60 writers. Like, 60 people got credits on that song. And that was why I say it's magnum opus. Not only is it sonically as magnum opus, but it drew everybody in his network for that once. Everybody was just singing one note on that song.
That music video
imagine an album so good you draw forgiveness. You know what I mean? Like, but people like, you know what? We love Taylor Swift, but damn, this shit is fire. Monster, yeah. So Appalled, All of the Lights, Devil in a New Dress, Blame Game. Mm-hmm. And that was Ye putting all that stuff together. That wasn't just Chris Rock talking consecutively. Yeah. He chopped all that up to make it one beautiful thing.
I like those stories that they talk about because it was a lifestyle to make the album where they would fly to Hawaii and they would do like breakfast and then go play basketball.
Right.
And they would studio for 12 hours and then go do it the next day. It's like, that's dope. It's mm-hmm. like, we're going to do this
and he gave
as a team.
Everybody credits. Yeah. Like that's part of it when people say he had a ghostwriter. It's like, nah, what he would do is he asked for collaborations and you say something, he'd write it. Like, he'd write his own verse. From what I've gathered.
What do you say? I don't have writers. I might bounce ideas, but only I could come up with some shit like this.
Yeah. I mean, he used to be like, what are you thinking? And he would credit people.
It was a collaborative
effort.
It'd
be like you were in a conversation in the room. He credited you on the album. I mean, from a sonic perspective, I mean, Kanye's a genius.
That's probably why he keep calling himself Steve Jobs.
I had this argument about 2-3 weeks ago about
the best
album of the last decade. And
you get that to Ye?
No. Me and my friends, it was between My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy and A Good Kid, Mad City. And what I said was the difference was Kanye had, like you said, Rick Ross, Nicki Minaj. He had people that outshined him. Kendrick was him. Right, like obviously you have your producers and stuff like that, but as the star
J-Rock
artist,
beat that nigga's ass on Money Trees though.
He did.
Money Trees
so?
Deuce is
he
better.
J Rock, that J Rock verse.
But he killed. He killed.
I love that verse. He killed. Let me say this. Not to cut you off. The best rapping on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is not Kanye.
Who is it? Nicki?
It's all these other people that we just mentioned.
Sci-Hi
it's Pusha T,
Sci-Hi,
Rick
Good
Ross.
Friday, on a Good Friday joint.
But I'm just saying with Kendrick. Although J-Rock might have killed him on that, that's not the best verse on the album. Kendrick has the best verse on his own album.
Yeah.
That's why I said it's the difference between Good Kid, Mad City is like best picture and My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is almost like
best
director.
Screenplay.
Yeah, best screenplay. You know what I mean? It's a different category.
Best original,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's brilliantly composed, but Kendrick is like, Kendrick, that album is an amazing, amazing. I call it a sonic motion picture. Like, yeah. I feel like I'm in the backseat freestyling. I feel like I'm outside about to get jumped.
You're watching
with Shireen.
I'm hearing it happen.
The thing that killed me about that was I didn't know. I love Section 80 so much. Mm-hmm. And there was such a hype. Dr. Dre just co-signed him. Mm-hmm. He's like, this is the new king of L.A. before your album come out. You know
that's
what I mean?
They do everything, though.
That's yeah. how, but, yeah. like, and then he lived up to that expectation.
Yeah,
it's like LeBron coming into the league. Like, he lived up. I give it to any nigga who live up to whatever the hype of what it is.
That's like So Far Gone.
So
Far Gone to me to this day is still his best project.
Do y'all still fuck with Ye?
I
to this day?
No.
Have y'all given up?
I cut off at Yeezus.
Yeah.
You cut
what?
Did you like Yeezus?
I liked about 3 songs on Yeezus.
Amazing.
But I couldn't roll with him. I thought
Pablo was amazing.
Pablo was amazing.
I thought Pablo was dope.
Nah. Ghost Town's great.
I like Pablo, but I'm sorry. I'm team. I miss the whole Kanye.
That's what I said.
What about the Ye album? Did y'all even listen to it? People don't even be acting like he didn't
Which
even
album?
Make that. Ye.
What album?
The last year.
The last
Ghost
one.
Town was great.
Yeah.
Never heard that.
You're such a fucking hoe.
I
love
it.
That's not on the album, though.
That's on Ye.
That's not
on the album.
That's Lucy.
I thought that's on
Ye. Yeah. You talking about the one with the album he did, the three.
That just came out, yeah.
The one he did, like, in Wisconsin?
It was
in Montana.
Montana.
Where he just bought another mansion.
It was all right.
And they denied his permit for amphitheater.
They told him to turn his music down.
Let that man make a cult. Why are we stopping him?
That's what he
Why
had
do white
it?
People get to make cults and niggas don't?
Hey, man, that's true. If everybody...
Has that been any
cults matter,
black people weapons?
White all cults
white
matter.
White people and Indians get to make cults. Kanye just wants to build his cult. His
Wait,
cult.
How did Indians get there?
Black Twitter's a cult.
Huh?
How did
black
Twitter, Indians get
black
there?
Black Twitter's a
this
cult.
This old boy from Oregon.
I mean, that's not really a cult.
The one that made the whole Netflix documentary about him?
Yeah, he's Indian.
He's Indian.
Not
you just defended him because he's brown. That nigga's still bad.
Yeah.
That was his religion.
Nah. Yeah. All religions is cults.
I would agree with that to some degree.
Y'all ready to do some trivia?
We do trivia.
This is black people stuff. Hopefully non-black people or black people who grew up with like Colin Kaepernick can learn some things.
Except Judaism.
Judaism is not a cult.
Judaism is...
What about Catholicism?
It's a race. Huh?
You think Judaism is a race? I was about to say.
He's just stirring shit up. Yeah. All right, so what y'all going to do, we don't have buzzers. We usually do A or Yo, because I usually have two guests. But y'all just say y'all name, or y'all just say A. Whoever I hear first, you do what you do. All right, just some black culture shit. All right, so first question is, which black comedian holds the record for the longest run on Saturday Night Live?
Kevin, Steve Iso.
answer. You submitted some packets. So who is it?
Keenan, right?
Absolutely.
I love him.
The way, whoever y'all pick a charity and I'll make a donation in the name of Classic Black Dudes, whoever has the most questions correct.
Nice. Right?
In which US city is the series Martin based in?
Can I do it?
Yeah.
The Detroit.
Michigan.
Yeah. Can we answer in question form like Jeopardy?
If you want to make it real, okay. In the Chappelle Show skit about his life, which couch did Rick James mess up with his? Whose
Eddie
couch?
Murphy's.
Eddie Murphy's couch. What color was the couch?
Purple.
White. Okay. The rapper Yo Yo dated which 90s rap legend?
Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to buzz in. Sorry,
that's okay.
Bing.
That voice was all I needed. Queen Latifah wore a key around her neck in memory of what?
Oh, wait. Did her brother pass away in a motorcycle accident?
Hell yeah, yeah. Man. Look at you, scoopity doop, scoop, boopity boop. Which black ass movie was directed by Steven Spielberg?
Oh, Color Purple.
Yeah.
Man,
y'all let Scoop get y'all. All right. Yeah. Which black woman comedian has the EGOT? Emmy, Grammy, Oscar,
Whoopi
Goldberg.
Whoopi's fantastic.
Money goes to Jack.
Lunel didn't get it?
No, Monique's up next.
Monique, as soon as that Netflix check come through.
She's trying to Kaepernick Netflix.
She is. They trying, man.
And nobody says
I'm with her this
enough.
Time. She should sue. Black people need to win more frivolous lawsuits. That's my standpoint.
I'm with it.
The 1996 Spike Lee film is about the Million Man March.
Oh, get on the bus. I was in D.C. when that happened. That's
Yeah.
All right. Which
can we do millennial Gen Z black facts, or are they all gonna be old nigga black facts?
We can go younger.
Go 90s.
We can go younger.
I got Summer Walker queued up.
Summer Walker.
He got all. Ask about all the babies.
Oh, the chick from the black girl from Twitter who from Chicago was in this movie with Lawrence Taylor. I mean Lawrence. Lawrence Fishburne.
The Hate You Give.
No, she played a young girl in this movie with Lawrence Fishburne and Angela Bassett.
Akeelah and the Bee.
Akeelah and the Bee. Yeah. Is that black Gen
Kiki
Z?
Palmer.
Is that Gen Z enough?
Kiki
Do I need to go
That's
younger?
Good. That was good.
The gag is.
Do I need to go younger?
No, don't go younger.
All right. This was name one song from the Showgirls soundtrack.
What?
Showgirls.
I was like, that movie was great, but I don't remember the soundtrack.
Name was on the Dream Girls.
Dream Girls.
That's not the name of the movie.
We'll make it happy. That's a song.
What name a song?
You said name a song.
I'm not.
Lions, Tigers, and Bears.
Move.
Heavy.
That's just Jasmine Sullivan.
Heavy.
My life. You got a such magnetic power.
We are family like a giant tree.
Beyonce played this legendary soul singer, biopic.
Etta James.
Selena.
Yes, Etta. She was messed up
this,
in that.
Man.
Did you say that?
Does not date black women. That's how we know that he just proved it. That's how he answered the question.
And Selena. That was Beyonce's first, well, second time on screen not being able to act well. Bless
I got
heart.
A sports question. Y'all just tell me which one. Dwayne Wade or Allen Iverson?
Dwayne Iverson.
Dwayne Wade.
As a player, I would say Dwayne Wade is more complete.
As a cultural like icon, Allen Iverson.
As a player, you say Dwayne Wade?
As an overall player. Better defender. Wow.
Better career.
His career is definitely better.
Man,
let's as an individual
be honest,
talent.
That championship where they beat the Mavericks, let's be honest.
That was all D-Wade.
I mean.
But they had Shaq.
If y'all watch it again.
AI had Shaq, even at any age, right now Shaq.
But I also like Dwayne Wade as like just a black culture figure.
He's very progressive
now. Like he's got his nice black wife, his son that like is gender fluid and. His outside baby that Gabrielle has accepted.
Break baby.
Was like, we break, but ain't alive. I'm going to still marry my
man. Chicago, he's very like, oh, okay. This is what happens when you leave the crib, right? That's right.
AI
John Singleton
probably,
or Spike?
John Singleton.
Spike. Well,
Barry Jenkins.
Barry Jenkins? I like.
Man, Snowfall got me leaning towards Singleton. Snowfall is an amazing show. I love Snowfall so much.
I didn't like Black Klansman, bro. I ain't gonna lie.
I liked it.
I
liked the first two acts. That third act, I was like,
although it's all love to Spike because he's my Morehouse brother, but John Singleton.
Fuck yeah. Well, look, y'all. We done ran out of time on this another episode of Classic Black Dude, man. I've learned so much. It's been funny, been thoughtful, been balanced. Kevin Iso, we gonna get you straight. You gonna be at the Comedy Cellar soon.
What you mean you gonna get me straight?
I mean you like my brother, man. I'm always trying to look out for Iso, man. I got a deep love for you. You surviving in New York, which is a hard place to do it. So any help, you know, I always got you.
Appreciate it.
My man over at Big Head, killing it.
Big Mouth,
whatever. Write the spinoff. The spinoff of Big Mouth is going to be Big Head.
They already got a spinoff.
Really?
The
I don't
spin-off
know.
Spinoff should be what
much?
That mouth do.
All right, man.
Tell them where they can find you, Jack. Where can people find you?
I hope you guys have a great night.
Jack Knight just eyed him a head out on us.
And but SpongeBob has left the building.
Until he comes back. All right, so where can they find you?
FlatbushMisdemeanors.com.
Yes. Scoop, where can they find you?
I guess Instagram or Twitter at Worldwide Scoop.
At Worldwide Scoop, Chelsea.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Miss, MISSDC underscore ESQ.
And I'm going to help my brother out find Jack Knight at It's Jack Knight. He left the dope. Who in the hell left the dope in? Jack Knight at It's Jack Knight. Make sure you follow, subscribe, review, and rate us on Apple Podcasts. This is the Classic Black Dude Podcast. I'm your host, Clark Jones. Find me on all social media network at the Clark Jones, C-H-E-E, Clark Jones. And you can find Classic Black Dude on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And yeah, we're doing it for the culture, man. This has been great. Follow us. Jack Got Pizza. Thank you so much.